called Gods at War. And some of the gods we've talked about, if you recall, have been what? The gods of money, gods of love. And today we're talking about the God of power. And I just have to move these because I like to move around. We've talked about different aspects, and Justin was here last Sunday and he preached about the God of money and some of the things that can get in our way. And they really battle for the throne of our heart is the whole idea. And some of these gods, we can't recognize them. We have to have our eyes open. We have to be thoughtful. We have to be prayerful if we're going to be able to overcome these idols. And it might seem like a very old term, idolatry. But there's many, many idols that aren't necessarily an image. It's not something we physically go to a place and we physically bow down to. Although that does exist today. We see it even in some subsets, if you will, of Christianity. And we see it in other religions as well. So the challenge today is to consider the God of power and how the false God of power might be infiltrating your life in ways you might not even recognize. We want to talk about the authority that's abused and the authority that is appropriated. Authority abused and the authority that is appropriated. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Now, if you've gotten one of those surveys, just real quick, if you've gotten one of those surveys, please fill that out. Be honest. Compliments or concerns, anything. I'm asking the question. I want honest answers, okay? We'd like to have those back by next Sunday, okay? If you don't have one, raise your hand. If you did not get a survey, raise your hand and the ushers will pass one around to you. Some people say the person with the microphone has the power. And some would say, in the given context, that chewing gum has a lot of power. I think you know where I'm going. Because if you are one of those folks who don't recognize that you need some help in conversation, as far as your breath is concerned, and you realize and somebody offers you some chewing gum, they've just offered you a very, very powerful thing. But that's not the kind of power we're talking about today. The power we're talking about today is authority. Authority. You think about little children. And Jesus, and we talked about this a little bit on Wednesday, and you think about the little children, the question that the apostles asked Jesus was what? Who is the greatest in the kingdom? Now imagine that for a second. You're an apostle. You've been following Jesus. He's been talking about humility. He's been showing himself to be a servant. And then all of a sudden you've got it in your mind that you're going to ask Jesus, God in the flesh, about who's the greatest in the kingdom. Who would be the greatest in the kingdom? The one you're asking? And what does he point to? He brings a little child, little one. Now, when you're younger, when you were little, I know some of us it's longer than others, but when you're a little kid, how much authority did you have? See, about this tall. How much authority you got right there? Or even here? And what's Jesus trying to point him to? Look, you want to be great? Don't seek it. It's not even on your mind. You think authority was on the mind of that little kid running to Jesus? It was the furthest thing from his mind. Her mind. And Jesus is pointing to us and he's saying the same thing. You want to be powerful? Become like a little child. Don't seek power. Don't seek to have an authority. I'll give it to you. Jesus is the one who gives us our authority. When we have authority that is abused, as we will see in Matthew 18, we can call someone else to sin in the same way that we are. And what Jesus calls those are stumbling blocks. Read with me. Let's start in verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." And one of the ways, brothers and sisters, that we can exert our authority in an inappropriate way is when our lives are not concerned with causing another brother or sister to stumble. And here's another area, if you've ever had kids. What do little kids do when they're around their parents? They watch. They watch, don't they? They watch you. And if you are not careful, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And if we are not careful as parents, grandparents, and we know that those little ones are watching us, and we know we have that power, that authority, and we don't care, or we just don't think about it, how much we can influence those little ones. And so we need book, chapter, and verse as to why we shouldn't drink. And we need book, chapter, and verse as to why we shouldn't smoke marijuana. And we need book, chapter, and verse as to why we shouldn't do things we know we shouldn't do. We're in the book, we're in the chapter, and we're in the verse. Because we have a ton of authority, brothers and sisters. We don't realize it, but we do. And what a wonderful responsibility we have. If not only can we influence them for bad, then what else can we influence them for? Good. But when we don't appropriate our authority correctly, we become a stumbling block. Jesus gave a pretty stiff warning to somebody who is a stumbling block. And we need to take that serious and approach it with caution. Since it's better for that person, that stumbling block, that person that teaches someone else to sin in the same way that they're sinning, causing one of the little ones to stumble. So it is better for them, that person, if they were to get a millstone wrapped around their neck and thrown into the sea, it'd be better off dead. Do you take that serious? We don't want to be a stumbling block. And one of the areas we think about who we have authority over in our lives today. Some of them are our kids. Some of them are our grandkids when they're around us. Some of them are students. If you're a teacher, right? You have authority. You're an authority figure. If you teach anybody in class downstairs or over there in the other building, you have authority over people. If you're a husband, you have authority. If you're a wife, you have authority. If you're a student yourself, you have authority. You think about all the authority, power that you have. And now think about yourself. Because if you have all this authority over everyone else, how much self-control, how much power do you have over yourself? You say, well, I can direct meeting boards. I can facilitate small groups. I have authority. I can do all of these things. I have this much authority. But when it comes to myself, yourself, you lack authority. You lack power. Self-control. And so you've taken all this authority and applied it to everyone else. Except you. Me. And so you want to avoid being a stumbling block. Practice self-control. Take that authority, that power that God has given you, and use it on yourself. Verse 8. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, what? Throw it from you. Cut it off and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than to have two hands or two feet and be cast into the eternal fire. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be cast into fiery hell. If you have a problem with stealing and you cut your right hand off, which they do in some countries, right? They'll cut it right off. And you got a problem with stealing, you cut off your right hand, what are you going to do with your left hand? You're going to steal. If you have a problem with pornography, if you got a problem viewing things that you know we shouldn't, and you pluck out one of your eyes, guess what you're going to do with your other eye? Self-control. Starts here. Power. See that you do not despise, verse 10, one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven. And I often wonder what Jesus was meaning by that. You think about a little child. We talked about how in some cultures they are so downcast, they're looked negatively upon. It's true. I mean, what value do they offer? You have to serve them. You have to provide for them. You have to give, 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 give. What are they giving back to society? And Jesus says, when you look at those little ones, and just picture that in the disciples' minds. Jesus says, look at that little child. Be like them. And you know what? They always have a presence before the Father in heaven. They always have somebody looking out for them that's representing them before the throne of God. Because sometimes they can't speak for themselves. And we can talk about New York State and Virginia and some other societies in this world we live in. And so many people claim to have power and choice over their own body. But they've already said that they don't have enough self-control when they conceived that child. Just something to think about. So Don't be a stumbling block. Don't cause someone to sin in the same way you are. We have to have self-control, brothers and sisters. Power over ourselves. And the false god of power would tell you that as long as you're doing everything you want, you've got control. You know what the scripture calls that? Slavery. When you're given over to every lust and craving that your flesh desires, you are a slave, my friend. And what power does a slave have? We also have power to forgive, brothers and sisters. And I want to skip over this when I'm running out of time. And we'll get to it at the end. When we have the power to forgive and we don't, we're kind of like Peter when he asked the question, right? If you go on down further in Matthew 18, Peter and the other disciples asked the question, how many times should I forgive my brothers and sisters? And what did Jesus say? When you have the power to forgive someone and you don't, the authority that you have has been misapplied. The question shouldn't be, right? The question shouldn't be, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister? That's not the right question, right? Because we're not always the victim, right? We're not. I mean, Peter, how many times did he put in his foot in his mouth? How many times do you think he sinned? And so we're not always the victim, are we? Sometimes we are the perpetrator. And so when we ask the question differently and say, no, Lord, not how many times should I forgive my brother or sister, but how many times do I want to be forgiven? And then think about what James says about how all of us stumble in many ways, especially with our words. And keep that in the context when somebody else has offended you. Or I've offended you, or you've offended me. And we can hold on to the grudge and hold on to it and hold on to it. And you know what that causes? Bitterness. And bitterness can override every sense of authority you have. Especially if you're appropriating that authority in the right way and you get bitter. Bitterness involves thought. It involves emotion. It involves everything about you. And if you've become bitter, then you are not, as the Hebrew writer commands us, pursuing peace with all men. He tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, pursue peace with all men and sanctification, without which no one will see the Lord, and let no root of bitterness spring up, and by it many be defiled. Are you bitter? You have bitterness in your heart towards someone. There's a story of these monkeys. And I can't tell you where. It might be Zimbabwe or some area where they trap monkeys. And they figured out a nice way to trap them. See, what they do is they know this special kind of fruit they like. Right. And what they do is they'll drill a hole that they can fit their hand in into the fruit. And once they put their hand inside of the fruit, they grab the fruit that's inside of it. And when they try to pull their hand back out, they can't, because why? Their hand's full of the fruit. And so they're trapped. Right. Now they can get away. How can they get away? Just let it go. And brothers and sisters, that's what we have to do sometimes. We have to let it go. We have to let it go. Or maybe you're like me sometimes. And you downplay the level of authority that you have. Because that can be a way that the false god of power influences you too, and me. We say, I don't have that level of authority. I mean, what difference can I make? me try to give you another illustration. It's a grandfather and his son, grandson, walking along the beach. He's seeing all these dried up starfish. They've been washed onto shore. There's tons of them on the seashore, on the sand. And they've all dried up. They're almost dead. And the grandson says, "Granddad, you know, look at all these starfish. How can I ever affect any of them? I mean, look at all of them. They're all over the place." And the granddad's walking along with his grandson. He picks one up, throws it back into the ocean. Walks on a little bit further, picks another one up, throws it into the ocean. The grandson's, "Why are you doing that? Look at them all." Picks up another one, throws it in the ocean. Says, "How can you make a difference, Granddad? Why are you wasting your time?" Walks over to another one, throws it in the ocean. Said, I just made a difference to that one. And so maybe you downplay the authority you have. Maybe you look at yourself and say, "How can I influence anyone? One at a time. One at a time. You make a difference one at a time." So don't downplay the Spirit of God inside of you. Don't downplay the authority of the Word of God in your life. Don't downplay the power that God has given you to influence the world around you. Don't downplay that. You give glory to Him. One at a time. So this is when authority is appropriated, as we continue on in Matthew 18. Verse 2, back up to the top, the beginning of the chapter. "And he called the child to himself and set him before him." What does that child have to do in order to go to Christ? What does that child have to do? It's to make a decision. You have to turn over authority. Right? You have to turn authority over to Christ. And those of us who've given our lives to Christ, when we confessed our sin, we repented, we said, "Yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God," and that's no insignificant statement. That's no insignificant confession. We give ourselves over to immersion. We give over authority to Christ. And if we can do that, brothers and sisters, and if you have done that, then you realize how all of those other things, all of those other levels of authority that you have or you might have, fall in place. It's kind of like the God of love illustration with the shirt with the buttons. If you have the top button fastened correctly, all the other buttons are going to fall in line. The same is true with this one. If Christ is the ultimate authority in your life, then you will find that all those levels of authority that you have or don't have fall right into place where they should be. We have to turn over authority to Christ. We have to control ourselves, brother. We talked about it. Self-control. And I want to talk a little bit about what's happened to, let's get close to home, Mr. Kraft. Right? Mr. Kraft. What's happened to him? Just won a Super Bowl for the sixth time. And he goes to Florida. And I'm not judging him, right? That's just talking about. What did he lack? How much power does he have? He owns arguably one of the most successful franchises in NFL history. He owns a paper business that has many legs to it. More money than all of us could ever spend probably in this room. He is also the owner of the New England Revolution, which isn't just a shake off the shoulder either. And yet he doesn't have enough self-control over his self. And for those of you who don't know, Robert Kraft is the owner of the New England Patriots. And he wanted to become like the prodigal son. And he did. And he went down to Florida and found himself in a situation that's all over the front pages now. Because even in his old age, he's mid-70s, he still struggles with lust. And he gave himself over to a fleshly passion. And we'll see what happens. But in all actuality, he's no different than you or I. He's got more power maybe in some areas. More authority, more money, more people serving him. But our flesh can battle just the same as his flesh battled against him. And what we can do that he cannot do, not having the Spirit of God in him, careful, is win. Every single time we have a fleshly desire, we can win. Every single time. And you might have folks who don't have the Spirit of God in them, and they may win sometimes, but they will fail. But you and I, brothers and sisters, we can win every single time. The power of God in us. And I would say even pray for him. And then Philippians chapter 2, and we'll close with this. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. And one of the things that the false god of power wants to tell you is to do none of those things. You're in control. You have the power. You make the decisions that you want that's best for you, regardless of how it affects somebody else. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And you want to talk about power? Jesus has all the power. And he has the power to help you and me to be conformed to his image. And when we conform to his image, then we will have control, authority over ourselves. We will have authority to influence people because our minds and our hearts will be there. We will have authority given over to him, because when we do that, brothers and sisters, all of those other levels of authority we have will be right in line. Don't let the God of power affect your life. You can overcome. One day at a time. Let's sing our song, 581.